Fair warning to our fathers this morning. We've kept the children handy so that maybe they'll hear something that they don't understand. Maybe they'll see something that, you are where they're going to go. Dad, why'd we do that? So, listen up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Just one verse will be at the center of everything that we do this morning. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 says this: "For this reason, he," Jesus, "is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, this morning, as we focus our thoughts around your great love for us. We'll spend some time in the past, some time in the present, and some time in the future. Because you are there. You have spoken. You speak today. And you will continue speaking. We've come to hear from you today. Open up our hearts and our minds to what you would have us learn. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, be a useful servant as you teach us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we begin this morning with a little bit of review. You may remember when Hebrews chapter 9 opened up, verse 1 says, "Now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary." The first covenant, the first contract that God made with man, with Israel. There was a sanctuary. There was a place of worship. Not real big. The first one was a tabernacle. It was a tent. The biggest part of it was for people to come and worship together. And as they did, they could look into a place called the holy place. On the outside was the altar. That's where all the sacrifices were made. But in that holy place, they could see a table with bread and an altar of incense where worship could be offered. And then a candelabra, a menorah, all of which representing worship, representing who God is. He told Israel, "I will be your source of food. I will be your bread of life. I will be your light. I will direct your paths." And in response, you will offer prayers, that incense as it goes up. picturing our prayer, or Israel's prayers. Why did God do that? Because he wanted Israel to see not just his present work with them. One day, someone will come who will say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Even in that ancient worship tent, Israel could see the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus chose his words carefully. He wanted those who were paying attention to look back and think, oh yeah, that's what our worship has been all about. And then behind that holy place, the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest got to go back there, and only once a year. That's where a special sacrifice took place. Once a year, the high priest had to get up early in the morning, wash himself specially, put on special clothes. He had to offer a sacrifice for himself because he was a sinner. Then he could offer a sacrifice for Israel and take that sacrifice and lay it on the altar. In the process, collect blood that he could take back into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it on that Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Promise, the representation of the promise that God had made to Israel. That was their worship in this special sanctuary. That was the covenant, the arrangement that God had with Israel. Verse 11 says, though, but when Christ appeared, something new, something different. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now, we have to think differently about this and understand that that tabernacle, that temple, was not the one in Jerusalem, was not the one on Mount Sinai, or on in Jerusalem. No. Not that one. That was always just a copy. Whether it was the tent out in the wilderness or the beautiful temple that Solomon built, that was always just a copy. The original, the permanent one, is in the presence of God. So he entered through a more perfect tabernacle. He went to the original. And he didn't take the blood of bulls or goats. No. Instead, it was through his own blood. Jesus didn't have to get up Friday morning and offer a sacrifice for his sins before he offered a sacrifice for our sins. No. He just brought his own blood. He offered himself as a sacrifice, as the payment for our sin. And as a result, to bring about or to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, that first covenant was good. Remember we said it was temporary? And it was a word I trip over, preparatory. In other words, it was to set us up for something more. It was not designed to last forever. And here's the key. This verse, verse 14, is the key. Because in that first covenant, you were always wondering what if or what happens between today's sacrifice and the next sacrifice I offer. Am I covered? What if I do something? God had it covered with Israel. If they were paying attention and if they knew, all of this was by grace and through faith. But their conscience, their minds, still thinking there's a lot of work in this, and what if I fall short, and what happens if, how does this all get covered? Jesus took care of that on the cross. Because he paid the penalty for all sin, past, present, and future. If we will, by faith, accept that gracious gift, our sins are forgiven. We don't have to worry. If I do something today, can I live until I finally pray tonight and ask forgiveness? What if I die in the meantime? Well, by God's grace, because of faith in the finished work of Christ, my sins are forgiven. It's covered. I don't have to worry. Am I still to confess? Yes, I still need to agree with God that what I've done is wrong, that it violates his standard, and I need to repent, do a 180 and move away from it. Absolutely. Why? Because I'm so wonderful and capable. No, because I'm a child of God. I don't want to look like one. I want to act like one. Do I do it all the time? Absolutely not. I have too many witnesses to the opposite. But I'm better than I was. I'm further along than I have been. Not as far as I will be, though. But I'm covered. That's the new covenant. That brings us back to verse 15. For this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Initially, that new covenant was promised. All through the work of the priests in Israel, all through the work, all through the pictures in the tabernacle and later in the temple, all through that was the promise of a redeemer. You couldn't go through a worship service and not think, I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Clearly, look at all the blood running here. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, well, that's a promised redeemer, someone who will finally come and finish all of this and make it done. That's what they were supposed to see. That's what they were supposed to anticipate. Sadly, when Jesus arrives, most don't. But some do. Some know they're in that window when God had promised the Christ, the Messiah. They read the prophets. They knew that he was coming. They were looking for him. And he would bring a new covenant, a new arrangement. He would finish the old. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the old. I came to complete it. He came to mediate a new promised covenant. It would, with his death and resurrection, realize that covenant. It would be finished. His death paid that penalty. That final sacrifice was made on the cross. And now, all of that realized in His blood. Promised the disciples got to watch the process of it actually coming about. It all takes place in His personal gift, His blood. And we don't look back at a promise. We look back at it realized. We look back at it as having happened. It's done. It's finished. We don't look forward by faith in hope that it will. We look back in faith knowing that it did. Because God loves us. A new covenant, a new arrangement between God and now not just Israel. That's good news. Not just Israel, but for the world. That brings us then to 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24, and 25. Go ahead and pop them up. Paul is instructing the church there in Corinth, having to re-instruct them, giving us special insight into what's happening here. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He'd gathered them together and took a part of their history, a part of what was a regular part of their worship, and gave it new significance. This bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." This bread of life he took, he broke it, and said, "Now, this is not just bread. This is my body, broken for you. Eat all of it." Then Jesus took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The old covenant, that was in the blood of animals, so that you would learn over and over and over and over again, the wages of sin is death. But this new covenant is not based upon the blood of an animal, but it's based upon my blood. Do this as often as as you do, do this in remembrance of me, my blood given for you. A new covenant, promised, realized in the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing our hymn of fellowship. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of worshiping together as a family. Thank you for the book of Hebrews and the reminder of your great love for Israel and all of the pictures, illustrations that you gave to them of your love, your grace, your mercy, and the Christ, the Messiah, coming. Thank you for the bread and the cup, the symbolism that Jesus gave to each, the sacrifice that he alone could make for us. And thank you for the person that shared that good news with us. Thank you for the faith to respond, to make it our own. Father, as we leave here this morning, may it be evident to those who watch us that we love you. Love you with all that we have and all that we are. And as we have been loved, we will love one another. We pray. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.